welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook and I am joined by... Do you know what? I'm not going to do a weird wrestling thing like last week. Yeah, I listened. Hello, Adam Carroll. How are you?
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. I was... You know, I don't know what was going on there. You know, all these special introductions.
I thought it was a good one. I thought Chris nailed us.
Okay.
Chris nailed us.
Well, you know, let's just say that Chris and I have had words and he's not here this week, is he? So, no. He's busy playing a game for review. Gary is poorly. I'm not great. I'm not going to lie, but we're going to do a bloody podcast anyway and talk about some games. Adam, I can't talk about the games I'm playing.
Which is a shame.
Next week we'll talk Spider-Man. Sorry, Marvel's Spider-Man. And the week after we'll talk another game I can't talk about yet. But what have you been playing, Adam? We're going to get straight into it. I heard all the talk last week on Shenmue, and I have things to say, but I'm guessing you've now played it. I'm hoping you've now played it.
I have played it. I have picked up this critically acclaimed game, and...
gem. You can't see me doing inverted commas, but this gem of a game.
So, look, we all know here that Chris is a massive fan of this series, okay? Gary, not so much. I don't think you are.
I didn't like it at the time. I thought it was all right at the time. I respected it, but I didn't enjoy it.
Okay. This game is an experience.
It is quite
an experience. And I got to be honest, okay, that like, I don't think I've done anything but talk to people.
Right. Yeah.
Now, whether that's to basically say where I am in the game, I'm only about... 2.5 to 3 hours. I really haven't gotten around to a lot of it. But
have you got a day job yet? I can't remember how long the game. What happens when?
I don't have a job.
Yet. Do you driven around forklifts yet?
No, but I know all about that. I've heard about
that. Yeah, it sounds fun, doesn't it?
Well, it sounds like the highlight of the game, apparently, for some people.
I'm sort of half joking because, I understand. I'm grateful that Shenmue gave way to Yakuza. You know what I mean? There's no way Yakuza exists without the other. But at the same time, I have absolutely no desire to play Shenmue ever again. And I'd be honest with you, I don't see how Shenmue 3 can be anything other than a disappointment in the way that Chinese Democracy from Guns N' Roses was fine. Some good tracks, but generally speaking, never going to live up to it. And also, given... Like, to make Shenmue 3 the game people want it to be, that game needs... that game needs, like, a Red Dead-sized budget.
Well, like, it's interesting you say that, because when the talks were happening with the third game and stuff, I just didn't know what way that game was supposed to go, because I just never knew how 1 and 2 went.
Right.
I don't know where the progression obviously is going to go for the second game. Whether I get to it, different story. However, what I have played of 1, where do I begin? Okay, so straight off, the visual side. Do you know, it's not atrocious, and for the remaster that it is, you're kind of going, okay, whatever, right? I can get past that. But then I have to control this guy. And that is almost an achievement in itself, because holy fucking smokes, he is so awkward to control. Like, it is insane the amount of things I've gotten stuck into, do you know? Hey, and all this kind of stuff, like getting lodged into a wall, the sprinting button being R2 is really strange. And then this really, like, the only way I can describe it is, like, the hub screen as such, like, your icons in the bottom right, they look so bad. It looks so cheap, kind of unfinished in a way. Now, I know this is a game from back on the Dreamcast days, but for the legacy that it has, I didn't expect it to have such rough edges. And
well, it is a HD up-res re-release, not a remake. You know?
Yeah.
You're not going to get Resi 2 Remake or... I'm struggling now. Or like even Shadow of the Colossus style, you know, concessions to modern video games. It is an old game made to look a bit prettier for modern consoles.
Yeah, I imagine so. But, right, as I was playing this game and I realised, Jesus, I've just been told to go to this person, talk to this person, go back and talk to that person. And like,
oh yes,
do you know what I mean? When that starts kicking in,
I remember it well.
Yeah, when you realize, okay, this is what I've been doing. And then, like, it doesn't tell you anything. It's just, it does that classic old school video game thing where it's like, no, like, I was about an hour and a half in until I realized that if I hold down L2, it does this weird point of view thing, and then I can interact with stupid things like a light switch or a toilet. And I'm like, okay. And then I did the like training exercises, and then I had a brawl with these guys, and I was like, whoa, this is kind of all over the place.
All over the place, yeah.
But Adam Cook.
Yeah.
For me personally, somebody who's into like really bad horror movies and the kind of like over the top acting and all that stuff, I was completely surprised and thrown off by the way they left the sound design, okay? So
yeah, Chris mentioned this, but I haven't seen it, well, heard it myself yet.
They surely just did not go near it. Like, whatever that, if this was the way it was in the Dreamcast, and fair enough, I can probably see it being that way. No, I don't know if that's the way the original sound was intended. We are talking.
I'm guessing they had a problem getting hold of, like, the source material, because.
Would you think so?
You know, well, I mean, I can't think how else or why else they would listen to. If it's as bad as you're saying, as Chris said, and you know, Chris was harsh on it. He said it sounds like it's underwater. If it's that bad on modern equipment, it makes me wonder if A, they tested it on, you know, you've been in a recording studio and you know that it's like, right, so we've done our song, we've mixed it, but now we're going to listen to it on a TV. Now we're going to listen to it on a Walkman. Now we're going to listen to it on like £6,000 speakers. Now we're going to listen to it in the car. Now we're going to try a soundbar. You know, you kind of have to offer a master, especially with modern games. You have to master it for all manner of equipment because it's the PC argument. You know, when you develop a game, you're developing a game for a PC user, and there's like thousands upon thousands of permutations. Mm-hmm. But it's either that, like they didn't bother, or they just couldn't, because at the end of the day, as someone who does video and audio production, if the source file is fucked, you can fix it as best you can, but if it's the source file is bad, there's not you can do with it. It's like you can gussy it up a bit, but generally speaking, you can't fix bad audio.
Well, it has,
and it makes me wonder if they just couldn't do it.
Well, it's either that or there's a bit of humour surrounding the team, and they said, you know what, leave it as it is, because it adds.
I don't know.
Like, I know that's kind of like the bottom of the barrel thing, but
I think you're giving them a lot of credit.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I am. But the thing is, it has kind of worked for me in the weirdest way possible, because to explain the audio, it's like, it's super loud when you speak to anybody, and then it's kind of distorted. So that doesn't sound great.
Okay, like the gain's really high.
Yeah, yeah. Like
not being funny, we've Mick Fraser has started doing some video production, and he's learning. And he's done a video on Destiny, and we've been going back and forth. What he's got the problem of there is the same thing. He overcompensated and turned the gain on his mic up, so it's blown out. And you can't really fix that. And that sounds like what you're describing.
Yeah, it like what you said, where they just couldn't find the original source file or something to fix on it. I think that is what's happened here. But that, to me, is what kept me playing in the weirdest way, because of the...
Because you like B-movies.
It's, yeah, because every person you meet is shouting at you. And, like, there's these two hilarious, like, news gossipy women, and they're always at the random corner of the street, and if you ever approach them, they turn around and they basically just tell you to fuck off. They're just like, they've no time for you, and they say, like, they just shout at you, and it's kind of funny. All the dialogue is crazy. Like, I'm sorry, Tom the Hot Dog Man. We discussed it. He was last week's episode title, okay? I was damn excited.
Yeah, I
was damn excited to meet him. And when I did, it was just a joy. It was just I was like, there he is. He's just dancing constantly. The voice acting is hilarious. Like, I don't know why he's there. I don't know why he's banging out this like crazy dance music. It's just, it has a charm, and I think it has a charm for a certain audience of people. And I just don't see this being a series of games now. And that's why I was like, the sales are pretty decent on it, I'm sure. But anyone that's like me, who's just starting for the first time, I think there's going to be a higher percentage of people that would turn around and go, no, that's...
Are you going to keep going? Like, not being funny, with, you know, I mentioned Spider-Man earlier, with that, like, literally, by the time people, non-Patreon people hear this podcast, the game will be literally nearly out. And, you know, the week after, it's Tomb Raider, isn't it? That's out, I think, a week, that's 14th. And then we're really into it then, the big games have hit. Are you going to keep playing Shenmue, really?
Well, I want to. want to because...
I'm not judging. Like, I'm just genuinely wondering.
I just find it really interesting that, like, this kind of game, like, it couldn't happen now. Like, you could not release a game.
Ah, but it is Shenmue 3. This is, you know what? Aside, that's what I'm trying to get at. Like, I just don't see how they can deliver a good game. Because I think Chris, if he's being honest, and I think he was honest, that, like, it's a nostalgic tickle, isn't it? It's reminding you of that thing. It gave him flashbacks to playing it that first time. But in the cold light of day, it's just, you know, when you think about what the game is asking you to do, it's just kind of boring.
It is, but it does have just that kind of, as I said again, that charm. Like, when you wake up in your house and you have this, like, woman just constantly just walking around, and she leaves you like, I think, like 500 quid or something.
So like, I have no memory of that, by the way. No, like, Chris mentioned that last week, no memory of that at all.
It's like,
I remember the walking around talking to people, I remember the forklifts, I remember the fighting, that, you know, I remember the gacha games, and but like that, no, I have no memory of the woman and the flatmate or whatever at all.
Like, it's super weird, but it kind of just reminds me of the time of, like, Tomb Raider with the butler in the house. Do you know, she's literally just walking around, she leaves you money, you take it every single morning, and you go off and just chat to people again, and she just requests you to be back by, like, 11 o'clock at night. Like, it is a boring game. It is a boring game for what it is, and I feel if they're making the third one, if that comes out, I will laugh so much if they bring that game out and literally have you talking to so many people over and over again. If they bring out the same kind of style, I'll be like, fair fucking play, because you know that there's probably some kind of audience that enjoys it. And I don't know, like, if that game ramped up in action and became basically like a Yakuza game, would you be happy then? I don't really think so. I think a lot of people would be like...
Well, you've got Yakuza for that.
Exactly, but you can see that Yakuza took a lot from this, and, like, it's almost like a prototype of Yakuza, if you think about it. You do pretty much... You go to an arcade, you can have food, and, like, Yakuza is the better of these games, like, hands down.
Yeah.
But I do hope that...
Like, I'd love the time to get into Yakuza Kiwami 2. Would love time to do that right now. But that's downloaded, that's installed, and that's finish all the other big games, when I've got through the content style reviews that I have to do, then it's, maybe it'll be my Christmas game, don't know. But at the moment, like, I really want to play it, even if it's, because I mean, at this point, I can't remember if we did it last year, but we're certainly going to have a discussion in the Game of the Year stuff about best remake or re-release, There's been some high profile stuff this year, you know. The Kiwamis, the Shenmues of the world. There's Shadow of the Colossus was this year, wasn't it? It was this year.
Was it?
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was.
February?
I'm sure it was.
Might have been.
Yeah, it was. And I'm sure there's been another real big one, but I can't quite. Well, I suppose Crash could be in that talk again. Spyro should be out, but I don't know. The charm aspect of it is interesting, because the game I've been playing, I think it kind of lives and dies on that. That as well, like Strange Brigade, to bring us up to sort of modern days. Like, Rebellion are the shooter people in that respect, but they're the kind of off-kilter shooter people in that they don't make the cookie-cutter stuff. They make shooters, but shooters with a hook, with a difference. Like, they make the Sniper Elite games.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They, you know, with the X-ray bollock cams and stuff, you know. That. This is different. Strange Brigade lives and dies by its... Well, it's basically as an announcer. It's like... Come on, Brigade, let's go and do a mission. You know, and he's like, narrates it like, what will the Brigade get up to this time? You know, it's that kind of, and it's if you can't stand that,
I feel like it just gets annoying after a while, that kind of thing.
See, I would agree with you, but I think this carries itself. It's a four-player co-op shooter. It's essentially horde-based. Like, you know, you go to an area. The maps are quite large. Surprisingly large levels, actually, and there's lots of collectibles. But what I like about it is it adds in puzzle elements. So there's like, do you remember in the original Bioshock, the pipe, I think it was, puzzles, where you had to rotate them around and get like the water. It basically does that, but you have rudimentary stuff, nothing too difficult. Mm-hmm. There are some puzzles that, while they don't rely on co-op, they're easier on co-op. Like if you're off on the part of the map looking at a puzzle solution, you can relay it to me and I can do it in the world. The only problem with it is like the shooting is sometimes good, sometimes a bit woolly. But like in 2018, I feel like you should not be fighting over loot. Like you get the better spoils, the more coins, so to speak, of the cash at the end of the level if you're the better performer. I'm fine with that because ultimately, you know, it makes you want to be number one that level. But if you open a chest, only one person can get the chest, and those things, they hold things like gems, which you can slot into weapons to like, one of my favorites is that if you shoot an enemy and kill it, you get some health back, you know? And I feel like in 2018, if you find some treasure, it's one treasure chest and it's a co-op shooter, you all should get that.
Oh, like that's surely going to be a patch. Like,
well, I would have thought so, but
they can't continue with this. Like, man, that would just cause war. Like,
you see, it didn't with us, because at the time we played it, like, Mick was reviewing it, so he was levels ahead of me. I'd done a few levels, so I was a few levels ahead of Chris, so I'd kind of got a few gems. I wasn't too fussed. But if you're playing it together at a steady pace, then, yeah, you're like, well, who's going to get that? Like, to me, that is a bit old-fashioned.
Big time.
You know, like, some people are going to hate the comedic angle. I found it quite delightful so far. I haven't finished it, but I enjoyed the sort of British daftness, you know, the cup of tea, you know, and all the enemies, when they appear, they do that sort of Borderlands intro thing where you get like a quick intro of the enemy, and then it's like, you know, the mummification, the murdering mummies, you know, it's very like that, you know, the, you know, shambling sausages. It's not shambling sausages, but that kind of thing.
Shambling sausage. Kind of thing. What is a shambling sausage?
I don't know. Do you know, it's the title of this episode now, isn't it?
Someone needs to describe what a shambling sausage is, or attempt to describe it, and then just.
But it's. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I just couldn't think of anything that was in the alliteration, and that's the way my mind works. That I always like. I like the word sausage, if I'm honest, and I've always found it nice to say. But it's a fun game that I think is going to get a bit lost in the melee. I think it needed to be released a few weeks earlier because people have only got so much money, and with, like I say, the big games coming, I think it's going to struggle. Yeah. I hope it doesn't, because it's fun. It's got a horde mode. It's fun. It's a fun switch your brain off and have a laugh with your mates.
Yeah, but you're going to do it probably once. Not to bad the game, but like.
No, you're right.
Like,
well, it's got collectibles that that I do want. Like, they're well enough designed. Like, there's cats in it, and that plays into the comedy. Like, you know, the narrator hates cats. You know, just kill those horrible moggies. That kind of thing, you know? There's six cats per level, and if you find them all, you get to go, and there's like the cat door that's right near the boss at the end, and it's I find it, I don't want to say funny, I'm not chortling away to myself, I find it amusing, I'm smiling as I play it.
Is the gameplay, you know what I mean, tight?
I don't know that I'm not quite ready to decide. I think it's tight enough. I find the aiming, I've fiddled with the sensitivity a little bit and got it a bit more comfortable for me. I found the aiming a little loose at default, and I find, like, the game does want you to headshot because it's a bit Destiny-like in that you shoot them and there's a bar that you're depleting, you know, you're killing them slowly. They're zombies, they're that kind of enemy. But I've found very bullet spongy. The whole game is very bullet spongy. I found they throw enough at you that you can't really get headshots easily. Even sniper rifles aren't great, but generally speaking, like, it's a good time. Like, Mick gave it, I think, an 8. I think I'd lean towards a 7. It's a good game. Do you know what I mean? To me, it's a good game, not a very good game. As a, for definition purposes,
I just think that loot situation. No offense. I feel it's fine if we're like on it as friends and we kind of go, cool, look, you have that. But if you're working with three other people that you don't know, who's going to decide, oh, you can have it because you've done the most work right now? Like, that's not going to be the case. You're just going to have people running up taking it, and you're going to be like, dude, I was just doing all the work. And then,
well, I would like to think that someone would say, oh, it's the gem that lets you leech health back. I've already got that. Do you want it? You know, but the thing is, it doesn't even work like that, because you can have like five of them in your inventory, because you can basically, you can slot them into a weapon, and it's persistent in that weapon no matter which character you choose. So if you've got like a shotgun and you put the health leech in there, some of them have got like two slots, some of them haven't, like one slot. And if you've got the health leech in there and you decide you want one that's like, I can't even think of what the other ones are now, but just say you slot it in, it breaks it, so you lose that other one. So you are sort of stockpiling them. So that even then, it's like, I'll just grab it because I want the stockpile. You know, it. I don't know. It's a bit of a downer on an otherwise fun title.
Yeah.
And I think honestly, I apologise in advance. I think I'm going to come across. I know I said I was a bit poorly, but it's not that. I'm not in a bad mood. I think I'm going to come across as a bit of a downer, and I say that with hesitance because I've got to speak about PES now for a bit. so PES.
Oh wow!
Is in a weird place.
Wow.
Is in a weird place. So again, at the time you were having, we got PES 2 weeks before it came out. I know not everyone did. We were lucky enough to get it 2 weeks earlier than the embargo. Part of the agreement of the embargo was that we couldn't say we had it at all, complete shutdown, nothing until the embargo. The embargo lifted, and my review at the time I'm talking to you, Adam, is still not up, because in that 2 weeks process, the servers never came online. Now, that doesn't mean I would never choose to review it, because sometimes, like, I'm happy for God is a Geek to score a game, and with the caveat, by the way, we haven't tested this, so this is not the final score. This is the score of what we have played. We will change it if maybe you'll play the online and you're like, oh, this is terrible, this makes the whole thing worse. Or maybe the opposite. Maybe you know, the online changes everything. You know, Gears of War, now I can play Horde mode, and now that Horde mode's amazing. I think this game is even better than I did before. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing, right? The online never came up. That meant that at the time I was trying to play it for review, all the teams were last season's teams. It meant I couldn't test my club, the sort of ultimate team of PES. It meant I couldn't play online in any way, shape, or form. So I just didn't feel like I could review it, because going into Master League, you know, the career mode, not much has changed. Not much at all. The new menus I like, but they are very basic, and that's not a reason to like a game more. The gameplay is better. Like, the referees now give fouls, which is a positive, and they are much better. The goalkeepers are better. The game's more physical. I really enjoy it, but I feel like the problem is last year's PES was fantastic. So, and they came from they went from good to fantastic, and when you get to fantastic that quickly, it's difficult to make that next step, because where do you go from that next step? What do you do? There wasn't that much they needed to improve.
Yeah.
All, you know, they're big things, but in the grand scheme, minor things, and they have improved them. But man, this game feels a bit like a dinosaur. Like, there's this weird thing with the font. Now, anyone who played the demo and hasn't jumped in and bought the game yet, there's some weird thing on the kerning of the font where all the menu text is wobbly.
What?
It's really difficult to describe on a podcast, but imagine looking at a sheet of paper with lines on it, you know, an A4 lined piece of paper.
Yeah.
Now, when you type on a Google Doc, like as we have for our podcast itinerary, you will see all the text is in, you know, it's justified as per line, you know, vertically. They are lines on a page. You just can't see them. So with PES, whatever, I don't know if it's the font they've chose or some weird kerning, but what they've done is it looks like they've taken a screenshot of every letter in lower and uppercase, and then they've got someone to put the menus together by using the screenshots and trying to line them up rather than just having them on a line.
That's very strange.
So it's probably the most baffling thing I've seen in a video game in 10 years. Like, first time I was like, playing the demo, I noticed this, and I thought, that's a demo, whatever, you know, and I didn't see much about it, but when I got the retail build, as I say, and I'm still thinking, well, okay, they'll patch it. So they patched it on the 28th, they patched it on, but I don't know what that patch did. It didn't fix that. So at this point, I'm like, I need to, so I called my wife and said, look at the screen, and she looked at it, and like, do you see anything? She goes, the letters are all weird. I was like, yeah, okay, maybe she's, you know, my wife and I, we're both old, maybe it's, so I've got the kids in. What's wrong with the text on the menus? I don't want to go on and on about this, But when your opposition in FIFA is going out there and throwing truckloads of money that you can't match, it's not their fault. It's not Konami's fault. EA are just throwing money at people to get their licenses. But when they're doing that, you kind of got to be watertight in every other area.
Yeah.
And having menus that look like... I love this game, Adam, but having menus that look like the Work Experience kid did it...
Yeah, man. I'm
worried about this game, man. I love PES, but it's starting to feel like a dinosaur. Like the commentary still needs work. The menus still need work. My Club, I heard all this stuff about My Club that they changed it, and it looks to me just like they've changed the menus to make it a little bit more user friendly. But it isn't user friendly. It's still really confusing for people, and like the career mode is the same, and while you've got random selection mode, which is amazing and still the best mode in any football game ever, I feel like this game is my PES is becoming a dinosaur, and I'm really frightened it's going to become extinct, because I love this game, and I feel like the people in Japan aren't listening to the people feeding back to them. And I know people who work for Konami, and I know they love PES, but I feel like they're not being listened to. Like this game, fundamentally, you know, when you talk about fundamentals of a sport, the basics is amazing. You just need to get the wrapping right. And I'm not, you know, you're going to hear this and go, oh, blimey, Adam's going to give it a 5. No, not at all. I love this game. I think it's terrific, plays an amazing game. But it does feel very similar to last year. And they've updated the menus, but not in a good way.
That's what I was about to say, though. Like, I personally feel... Like, I don't play the many sports games at all, but do you not think that, say PES 2018 is your favourite, you didn't say this, but if it was your favourite football game, the definitive football game, if they came out for 2019 and went, here's pretty much the exact same game, so why would we change anything? Would you accept that? Would you be like...
No, because you can't that. But then, to me, that is why some titles like sports games, and I've said this for years, that's why I think making them a service you subscribe to isn't a bad idea. Like, it surprises me no end that, like, you look at Overwatch, right? What they do is they release a new hero. That hero changes the meta, so they then have to look at, like, Mercy. Yeah. When Mercy started, she was my favorite character. When they changed her and took her ult away, I stopped playing the game. Like, that is the risk you take.
I remember you got super mad about that. Yeah.
Absolutely, and I still don't play it because they ruined my character I enjoyed the most. Yeah. In my opinion, they ruined it. And that was the break that stopped me being addicted to the game, and it was a break, and that's great. But I feel like you can do that with a sports game. Make it a thing you play all the time. Just call it EA Sports FIFA, you know, PES, Pro Evolution Soccer. That's a perfect name for it. And update the game like it's a service. If it's like our big 2019 patch, our big 2019 patch is coming this week, and it's where we're going to update all the rosters for the new season, and we're going to change. We've finally fixed the referees. You know, it's the same as someone saying, "Oh, well, we fixed Mercy's ult. She doesn't do this anymore, or she does this." Like that's the same thing to me in a service as saying we fixed the referees. It's why, like in Dota 2, after a tournament like the international we've just had, they often drop like this huge patch which changes the game. Like, that's the end of the season or the beginning of the season, whichever way you want to look at it. And it's like, right, and here's the massive change we're going to make to the meta that's going to make our game fresh for yet another year, and then we'll do the whole thing again. To me, I think, and we'll see what FIFA does, but I have a sneaking suspicion FIFA's going to be very similar like PES this year, where they've added some bits and pieces, but generally speaking, it's a very... I think this is a gap year. I'm starting to personally wonder if the new consoles are closer than I thought. Well, this is a suggestion that these people know it, and that's why they're making kind of a gap year game. But like, if PES this year had done that, but charged, I don't know, $4.99 a month, they'd have all those people paying $4.99 a month, which would earn them well way more than, say, £50 a year they pay for the game.
Yeah, that's...
I've been playing PES up. I literally deleted the last PES. I realised I still had it installed when I put the disc in for the new PES. You know, that I've been playing... That's how good it was. Normally, I drift off after about 8 months, but this time I played it for a full 12. Like, for me, I think some games, not all games, some games need to start looking at the service thing that Ubisoft are doing, that, you know, that Blizzard are doing, and the Blizzard make money off that game. And I know PES isn't that big an audience, but it baffles me that they haven't tried in some way.
So do you think...
I guess they have tried, but...
So do you think, personally, like, the next step should be this? Like, they shouldn't be coming out with a PES 2020 and then just making a load of, like, errors here and
there. It's too early to tell because, like, even now, the review will be up this week for those who are waiting for it. It may already be up by the time you hear this. But generally speaking, the thing about football games is that often the flaws don't reveal themselves until you've played them for 6 months.
Yeah.
It is that kind of, I know it's a weird anomaly and people worry, but it's true that often these games don't reveal the deep-seated flaws for months.
I've seen that from, like, friends who adore these kind of games. And, like,
yeah,
like, for the first week, they're like, oh, it's really good, it's really good. And then down the line, they see, oh, whatever they've done to this player, it's a nightmare, or this kind of tournament part is bullshit. It does happen, all right, you're right in saying that.
But, like, I don't know, I'm not angry and I'm not disappointed. I'm worried. I'm worried where PES is going to go in the next 2 years, because the more I played of it in the review period, the more I realised that, yes, they have made good efforts to get licences that they could get, but the more I worry about it, the more I feel like almost gaming needs some kind of financial fair play thing. Because while NBA games are out there, you got NBA Live and NBA 2K19, and both get all the licences and all the players, for some reason, football is corrupt enough that they are quite happy to say, whoever pays us the most money, yep, fine. And then, you know, PES lose Dortmund, who had a contract with them because EA decided that they'd pay them enough that they were happy to cancel their contract. Because presumably if they cancelled their contract, they had to pay out of it. I don't know, I'm guessing. But, like, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be the way that, I think I've said this on the podcast, but it shouldn't be okay for EA or anyone to, and I actually don't blame EA. I blame the Premier League, for example, the fact the Premier League are happy to take money that blocks someone else from using their license, who are also going to offer money, just not as much. I feel like it's on the Premier League to make this these licenses available at a price where they don't need the money. They don't need it. It's one of the biggest leagues in the world. They've got the money.
Is that still happening? Is that still happening in PES? Where, yeah, the names and,
yeah,
stuff.
Oh, yep.
Jesus.
They've got Arsenal. They've got Liverpool, and I think that's it. And it's easy enough to go to PES World or somewhere to get licenses and put them back in the game by just downloading the, you know, and it's fine, and I've done it, and, you know, like, but the thing is that the video I did of that in 2017 got 100,000 views. So people are doing it, but that shows you how many people have to do it.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it's not EA's fault, and it certainly isn't Konami's fault if they can't afford to buy in. And also, like, the EA are so not in bed with that, sounds, because again, I'm not blaming EA, I just feel like I'm worried about the game I love, and I love them both, but I'm worried about PES, because with the menu situation this year, with the licenses situation, the game is still good, but it's so good now. The thing is, we have got into the situation where we expect a yearly release, and I just don't know what PES 2020 is. I just don't know what it is at this point.
It wouldn't be, man. You're right. The idea of just going off and, like, doing their own kind of community thing, just strictly calling it PES and updating it,
it's worth saying, sorry to cut you off as well, that community for that game as well at the moment is horrendous.
In what, like, way?
Utterly, just abusive.
Oh,
like, I people who I know who work at Konami, the abuse they get is shocking.
Well, dude, that's almost like a different conversation in its own way, because if anyone follows, like, Nicola and stuff on Twitter, you can see her situation that she's dealing with in Siege, and it's absolutely brutal. That's not the way games are supposed to be. But
there's two people in the PES community at the moment. If you like the game, you're in their pocket. If you dislike the game, why aren't you supporting them? It's not good at the moment.
Yeah.
But let's. In fact, community is a good segue into news, because I'm going to piss people off in our community because I've got stuff to say about this Cyberpunk 2077 gameplay video.
Here we go.
Well, before I weigh in, because I've just spoke for ages about games, I'm guessing you've seen it, or at least some of it. I'm pretty sure you were a fan of The Witcher. I mean, I think most people are fans of CD Projekt Red. I do want to get out that I think the reason they... Because I don't think they were going to release this video, because the amount of times they go, in development, don't get excited, in development. Like, I think they released it because they caught some flack on Twitter about, I think it was like an anti-trans meme joke, and I think this is their way of going, oh, we're sorry about that. Hey, look at this thing over here, forget about that other thing. Damage control. But it's out there now, like the 47-minute video?
Around that, yeah.
Yeah, which is the thing that people were showing behind closed doors, I think, but it was more of a gameplay where the developers walked through it, played through it. Adam, you start. What did you think?
Okay, so yes, I am a CD Projekt Red fan. The Witcher 3 is one of my favourites. Yep. Look, I watched this and it looks great. It looks, there's no denying that. However, I'm just afraid that it's just going to be too big. And I think there's going to be nearly everything to interact with. And I know that's just maybe what they're going for. I don't know if I'm going to be able to play this in first person from start to finish. I am, and I'm excited and I'm intrigued. There's so many things surrounding it. But I think I'm definitely in the camp with the first person thing. It's not really my bag. I just because of, I know what they can do in third person, and I just feel, I don't know, is the game going to be too big for it being first person? Because I'm not really like the Fallout kind of person at all, and I'm intrigued, but at the same time, I can't really say anything from a 47 minute video even. Like, it's going ahead. We're seeing so much happening, the environments, the NPCs, the interactions, and like even like bits of the story, the way you can design your character. They've put in a lot of, once again, I love the part in the video where they're like, it's like all of a sudden this guy gets out of the bed and he's like completely naked, and then your man narrating just says, this is a mature interactive.
Yeah, because, you know.
Do you know, there's an ass.
Sorry, carry on. No, carry on. I have things to say. Carry on.
So like saying that kind of thing. No, this could be a different thing. But at the very beginning when you're picking your class, is it just me that felt like we're going to be a girl or a woman or something to this?
Nope. I thought that too. Again, okay. I thought that was them going, we need to get people back on our side.
Yeah, today we're going to play as the female protagonist or whatever. And I was just kind of like, you didn't really have to announce it. You just need to just go ahead and just pick it, you know, and do your thing. So there's like these kind of little small bits that were thrown in. But anyway, aside from that kind of thing, I'm up for it, man. But like, there's just too much in this game, like, that I can't be like, I'm all for it. Like, I see in the comments people saying things like, and EA said that like single player games were finished, and then like what was these other ones?
I haven't seen that.
Like, there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of like, say goodbye to BioWare and all this kind of shit. And I'm like, alright, okay, can we not just be like, there's the game, there's your 47 minutes to have a discussion about it. I'm not gonna like, there's nothing to really bash for me personally. Like it seems like a world that I'm gonna be interested in, but it is just the first person perspective I'm kinda worried about. I feel like the Deus Ex comparison, even, like if you just put that game on a big screen and just showed it to me, I would have maybe said, is this a new Deus Ex game or something? Like, I wouldn't have said, that looks like a CD Projekt Red game. And the Deus Ex franchise was something I didn't click with either, which is what I thought when, what was the last one came out?
Human Revolution. No.
Mankind Divided.
And
Human Revolution was before, was it?
Maybe was the way around they were. I can't remember.
When Deus Ex.
No, I think Mankind Divided was the recent one.
Okay. So anyway,
no, it wasn't. No, Human Revolution, because you remember they used that weird marketing thing about humans. I'm going to Google it.
Okay.
Because I think Human Revolution was actually... Human Revolution was 2011. It was Mankind Divided.
Mankind Divided was the last one. Okay. So when Human Revolution came out, I remember getting that game going, this is going to be so up my street, all that. I didn't get on with it at all. And I didn't get on with the follow-up. Like, I don't know what it was. I didn't like the hacking system. I thought it was really complicated. And I just worry that Cyberpunk might take a lot from those games, and I hope, if it does, then cool, because the style is excellent. But I just hope it's a game that I'm personally going to be really into, because I really wanted CD Projekt Red's next project to be something I'm going to be just fall in love with again, because I have such a like The Witcher 3 I hold so highly, and I don't know, I don't know how it's going to turn out, man. Like, what are you saying? Like, you obviously...
So, I think this will be a very good game. I think when it's released, it will be a very good game. My concern is that at this point, it's being hyped to the point where it's like, don't bother with reviews. Everyone's already given it 10 out of 10. And I think there's problems already, that I think someone needs to talk to CD Projekt Red and say, hey, just so you know, you can't just say something's mature because you say the word cunt in it many times and show tits and ass. Like, that's not mature. Like, it's a mature game. What they mean is it's an adult game, because there's a difference between an adult game for me and a mature game. I feel like Breath of the Wild is a mature game.
Yeah.
But it's not an adult game. But, like, the dialogue to me, some of it was fine, but towards, like, was it like the end sequence, that bloke just keeps calling you a cunt. And I don't like to keep using that word on the podcast, but he keeps saying it. And I'm a big fan of saying that word in an abusive sort of argument. I think it's got a lot of weft to it, you know, a little weight to that. That's a strong swear. That's the swear word you don't say, you know what I mean?
Should we call the episode that, would we?
But he just kept repeating it like it was loop dialogue. And I just, I don't know. To me, it did look a lot like the Deus Ex games, but it also looked like a massively directed slice of gameplay.
Do you think?
Because there's multiple sections where the person controlling the demo walks out of a door to the thing and slowly pans the right stick to look around. Nobody plays a game like that.
Nobody plays a game like that. Has been had millions of times. That's nobody plays it like that. But
I mean, occasionally, I'm not going to lie, there are games now that are looking so good in 4K HDR that I will have a look around the sky and look at the impressive nature of it. But generally speaking, you don't walk outside every room and be like, pan slowly around. That's not the way people play games. I think there's a lot of interesting stuff in that trailer, but I just feel like people are going mental over it, and I think it's like, that game's a way off yet. Let's calm down. Well, let's say that looked like that was a cool slice. Let's chill out.
They stress loads that, like, it's a work in progress and everything like that. That message.
Yeah, so they can fix the dialogue. As you're walking around the streets, like, all the text starts appearing on screen from other people's conversations. You know, like, it just pops up on the screen, like, what they're saying. You're not actually having conversations. I think that'll be gone when it comes to retail. I don't think that'll be there. I think that's a messy, bad UI decision, and I think they will change that.
That's what I was going to say to you, though. But, like, did you find, not only did it have a Deus Ex kind of ring to it, I was seeing, like, with the texting, a Watch Dogs kind of vibe, right?
Yeah, I think
Watch Dogs they're acting influence from that. And I personally feel as well, a bit of David Cage's games.
I have faith in them. I've liked their games for a long time, but...
I'm not saying that this game is on the path of being shit. It is not. Mm. But we have to, like, honestly say, the people who are out there going, look, give it to me now, this is it. Like, really? Is this, in video games, that 48 minute has made you decide, that's exactly what I want. That is everything that I've looked for in a video game. Look, it's exciting to see it. It's exciting to see the developers that I personally think have been super good to their community over the last couple of years. Like, to see them back in action, yeah, that's exciting. But that doesn't mean that they're going to deliver a game that I'm going to personally love, because the world is so unbelievably different to The Witcher. And
I just think we should stop I feel like people are handing out 10 out of 10s to a game like this and Red Dead. Let's play them first, shall we? I'm all for enjoying a trailer. I'm all for saying it looks amazing. But the people who saw it, I feel like the press oversold it. I feel like it looked like a really cool gameplay slice. But when I watched it, I was like, yeah, this looks really cool. That language, that's a bit of an odd repeating. Oh, look at us, we're mature, we use a C word. You know, oh, look, we're showing tits loads of time. Oh, look, it's a man's ass. I feel like it's like, there's enough there that there's more than enough to have me sort of salivating. But at the same time, I'm like, let's just calm down and see what the... Because this is going to be a big one. This is going to be a big old game. Let's wait and see.
How would you, before we move on from it, how would you feel the audience would have reacted if they knew that this wasn't a CD Projekt Red game? Do you think we'd be receiving the same level of enthusiasm?
See, that's something I can't answer, but I get what you're saying. I don't know, if I'm honest with you. I think people would have probably called bullshit and said it's not real gameplay.
I think you would have seen a lot of, what's this, Prey 2 or this kind of stuff, do you know?
Yeah.
I'm not, I don't want to sound like we're, like, bad morning.
No, I'm very excited for this game. I'm just trying to be a bit more grounded and calm down about it.
Correct, because it is a bit... like, there is so much of that that goes on where people are, this is the best thing I've ever seen, but we haven't even got it. Like, what?
No. And it could be a long time before we see any more of it.
I'm going to say this is about 2 years off.
I think it'll be out by next Christmas. Sorry, not next Christmas. Yeah, next Christmas, 2019 Christmas. I think it'll be out by then.
I'm going to say March 2020.
This much of gameplay. Yeah. Okay, blimey. Well, we don't have to wait long because it probably shouldn't take as long to develop. But Streets of Rage 4 and Windjammers 2 announced by .emu. Didn't think I'd ever hear it. Didn't think I'd ever say those words. Streets of Rage 4. There's not much to say about it. The trailer, I'll be honest with you, didn't do a lot for me.
Thank you, Adam Cook.
The music was poor and I couldn't see enough of the gameplay to get excited. But it's Streets of Rage 4. Let's see. Let's have it. Let's see what you got. That's all I've got to say about that.
I'm just going to give my two cents. I don't really need it.
I don't need it.
Is every person going to really play Streets of Rage 4 and just be like, oh, like, because you can still play 2 and 3 at least anyway, and you still have,
see,
like...
It's the Final Fantasy remake thing. What do you want from a new Streets of Rage game?
No, listen.
That isn't the same as 1, 2, and 3.
Exactly, but we can't be bringing out the Final Fantasy remake. I'm too...
Okay.
I'm too angry about that.
Well, let's jump into some quick bits before we get to listen to correspondence then. Battlefield 5, or V, has been delayed to November 20th. Again, probably a bit concerning if you're a big Battlefield fan, because now they're going to be right on the back end of the year and people will have spent a lot of money on Red Dead, and maybe people will be tempted to go to Call of Duty this time. I don't know. We'll see. It's been delayed, obviously, to make it better. As usual, there's a beta coming September, is it, or is it October? I can't remember offhand. But, you know, if it's been delayed for reasons to make the game, they say it's final adjustments to the core gameplay. So, you know,
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll deal with it. You're not fussed. I'm not fussed. We'll play it when it comes out.
I'll play it when it comes out, yeah.
Onimusha Warlords.
Hey.
Speaking of games I never thought I'd hear ever again, Onimusha Warlords is coming to PS4, Xbox One, Switch and PC in January. Capcom do love the beginning of a year, don't they? 2001 the game came out. It'd be $15.99. I wouldn't expect too much from this one. Don't expect Resident Evil 2 levels of remake.
No. This is going to be kind of what you remember, and what I remember is this game being hard as nails.
It was hard, yeah. It's going to have widescreen, easy mode, new controls and more. So I think they'll sort of modernise it with controls, but no more than that. So
I got to say, though, I love this, like, comeback of all this samurai kind of style games.
Oh, yes.
I'm so into this kind of thing. And I'm really excited to go back and play this as well.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you.
Perfect for Switch, Adam Cook, isn't it?
I don't know, mate. No, I don't think it is, no. Just for the record, I'm glad you've said that. I have never wanted to be on a podcast more than I did last week when you said about the Switch on the go stuff. I don't want to repeat it too much, but go listen to last week where Adam mentioned he didn't actually enjoy the Switch on the go anymore because of the controls. Yep, singing from the same hymn sheet. It must be a name thing. 100% in agreement with you.
Yeah.
I don't like playing that thing handheld. It's uncomfortably heavy.
Yeah, and since then, like, somebody has, like, sent me a tweet, which is, like, it's totally obvious, but, you know, getting that accessory that you can clip onto the back, I totally think that's, like, ideal, and I'm going to probably have to do that, but the point is, I shouldn't have had to do that, and I don't want to have to buy another accessory to attach to the back of it. That Switch is just, it's really frustrating to play certain, and it's only happened, as I said, since games like Salt and Sanctuary, like even Dead Cells, I don't know, I just don't feel like I'm really in control.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why that Pro Controller is an absolute blessing. But yeah, I'm happy to hear you're in the same boat.
Okay, and finally this week, we won't dwell on this very long, because I think you mentioned it last week, but it's also kind of, it was rumoured and now it's happening, but it has been confirmed. Had it been confirmed this time last week? I don't think it had it?
No, it wasn't, no.
So Xbox All Access in America, again, we're mostly UK here, but a monthly subscription. I don't like it being called a subscription, because to me this is higher purchase, layaway kind of thing. Basically a 2-year deal where you pay, I think it is an Xbox One S, give $22 a month, or an Xbox One X for $35 a month, and you get an Xbox One, well, S or X, depending on which tier you go for, with Xbox Live Gold and Game Pass. It's a good deal, I think, and I think they're testing the waters to see if it works, because I think that will be the way consoles start to go, like an iPhone, basically, you know. Not much really to add, but it is a thing. If you're in America, that's a thing.
It's definitely an interesting one. I'd be keen to see how many people would see this and be like, yeah, I'd be up for that. I don't really want
to
have...
It's quite late to be doing it, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, they don't really have much to lose. They're just going to try it, and if it works, they're going to be like, excellent. If it doesn't work, they'll be like, we tried it. Do you know?
Yeah, I don't think that's fair.
A real big loss.
Will you do it?
No, I said it before. I'd rather own my consoles.
Okay. Well, you will after 2 years.
Yeah, but
let's do some listener correspondence. McPoo, a regular, everyone here is a regular here this week. McPoo asks, what superhero or superhero team would you love to see get their own game next, Adam?
I'm going to say straight away, I want another Blade game, because I watched Blade at the weekend and I realised that Blade 2 on the PlayStation 2, I remember playing a lot, and it's not great, but I would love to see... I even thought, like, just Rocksteady, just come back and just do Blade. I think it'd be absolutely brilliant.
I would, again, Rocksteady, I'd like them to be working on a Deadpool game.
What was that actual Deadpool game like?
The Activision one. I never actually played it. I've got a copy on 360. It's not supposed to be too bad. No, it's supposed to be quite good, but I just feel like the right studio could make a good Deadpool
game.
Yeah,
yeah.
David Ayer says, I've given you a pet squirrel. What would you name it?
David Ayer.
Okay, mine's going to be just Alan.
Alan.
No particular reason, just Alan the squirrel. Thomas at LlamaFluff42 says, what are the plans, hopes and ambitions for God as a Geek in the future? Apart from world domination, also I interview going to EGX. Gary could autograph things for attendees as the 4K man of opinions. I'd like that. Plans, hopes and ambitions, just to carry on as we are, really, mate, and just to keep improving. And I'll be honest, the one ambition I have is to get more YouTube subscribers, because you sort of, that's the one thing I feel that we don't have the support of that we have everywhere else on the site. Like, I know our listenerships of our podcast are good, I know our traffic is good on the site, but it's like we've never been able to transfer that to YouTube subscriptions. So I would like to get our subscriber base up higher, because I think there's some of the video stuff there's excellent. Are we going to EGX? I'm not. Adam definitely won't be. Mm-hmm. I think some of the site, I can't remember. Not officially, we haven't done that for ages. So we won't be covering things at EGX. He also asks, by the way, he says, you're forced to get by on just one console. First world problems. Which do you pick and why?
It's probably just going to be like the PS4, because...
I think I'm the same.
It's like... Do you ever have this kind of weird thing, like a social aspect with your PS4, where you're like... Be like, when you play the Switch, you're kind of outside the loop of gaming or something. I don't know what it is.
See,
it
does... quite like that.
But do you know what I mean?
But I totally do. Yeah, like it feels very disconnected.
Yeah.
It feels like, although it is online, it feels like it isn't. Because, you sometimes get notifications, but not often. Like PS4, to be honest, I've turned all that stuff off, so I don't see that. Like I went and actually looked and see I had friend requests from people who've obviously found me via the site, and it was like 6 months ago. Like, oh well.
Mm.
Sorry, to be honest with you, I've stopped. This makes me sound like fucking Billy Big Bollocks, but like I stopped accepting random friend requests and messages many years ago. Like the second I basically realised that if you're seen playing an unreleased game, people will just go, "Oh, I'm going to message him," and it's like My job's not worth. My job's worth more than that. I'm never going to be able to do it. Yeah. But I think PS4, just because basically, although I prefer the Xbox One X because it's better quality, in terms of performance. Generally speaking, the Xbox doesn't have enough exclusives for me, and I feel like on PS4 I get the best of both worlds at the moment. So, and I hope the Xbox One X gets like that again one day.
Yeah.
Davey H asks, which game genre has the highest optimum number of puddles? This is in relation to Puddlegate, which is the Spider-Man thing where people are accusing Insomniac of a downgrade in some of the... Have you seen this? Do I need to go?
Oh, I've heard about this, yeah. Okay, but man, I read it for 2 seconds and then I just said fuck off.
I don't have time in my life for that, I'm afraid. No. So I would be disappointed if there'd been a downgrade. If only I could talk about the game right now and I could say if it looked good or not. But I can't, so I won't.
Sorry.
Next week, we'll talk about Spider-Man. Next week, we will have discussions about that game. That sounds ominous. I didn't mean it to.
Yeah, really did.
I didn't mean it to at all. I can't say anything.
You basically didn't give away if you like it or dislike it. That's just what you did there.
And I'm not going to do that until next week. games. Are games stupid sometimes,
It's just, it is kind of funny how it almost feels like you're holding some like massive government file and you can't release any information.
When the embargo, we've got to that point now, by the way, where there's an embargo, which is where publishers say, Jesus, we want to send you a copy of the game. Here's the code. The embargo is this, but also you can tell people when the embargo is on this date. So it's an embargo. And I feel like it's so stupid. And I feel very uncomfortable. Like, on our Instagram, which is God is a Geek, and you should follow that because Mick's doing some stuff on there. It's fun. If you know, you can post pictures of the press kit you were sent. And it's like, I'm not really one of these that goes mad for press kits. Like, I think if anyone watches when I've done unboxings of them, I'm not like, hey, guys, look at this. Oh, my God, look at this. This is amazing. I'm like, here's this and this. Because the kind of thing I want is the code so I can get on with my job, which is covering the game. Don't get me wrong, very nice, not ungrateful at all. It's nice. We've got the Spider-Man press kit number, I think 62 it was, of the 1,500. Lovely. I'm sure some people would absolutely love that, which is why I'm not being ungrateful about it. But part of me is hesitant to post pictures or do videos then, because it's like, one, it feels like I'm rubbing it in your face that I've got it and you haven't, even though that isn't the case, and anyone who knows the site knows I'm not like that. But it is kind of like, look at what I've got, by the way. The thing you really care about, the game, can't tell you about that until this day. And it feels like you're part of the marketing rather than being part of the media.
It's super weird, yeah, man, because, like, just jumping quickly, I've seen people like, I am so excited for Spider-Man, and I think a lot of people are. I've seen so many people on Twitter alone just being like high video game journalist people, like, saying, oh, is it September 7th yet? But they've put up their picture, like, a few days ago.
Yeah.
Of their Spider-Man press kit or whatever, and like people are already saying, oh, I've completed 100%, but I'll talk about it on Tuesday or something. And you're like, I didn't fucking need that tweet. I know it's all happening Tuesday. I don't need, like, cool, you've 100%ed it. Great. I haven't even gotten 1% into the game because I don't have it.
But the thing is that's how I feel when doing that sort of tweet. And the only reason I let us do it as such, as the editor-in-chief, is because there are also probably 50% of the people who think, oh, wankers, you know, but there are also 50% of the people who will never get to see that press kit and really want to see it. And that's how I justify it. And that's how I feel okay about it. Like,
I also think as well, though, if you're in a position to play that game and do 100% whatever of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would you put it up? Like, because you just realise that you're just going to get so many responses saying, what is it like? What is it like? What is it like? And is that not going to annoy them? Like,
so I think I might have done that with one game, but what I would say is I finished God of War. I am allowed to talk about it on this date. And for me, that's different because it's saying, by the way, that's almost a hint, because if it's a week before the embargo and you've already finished it, it's like, oh, they either sent it early or it's really short. So it's almost like a sort of hidden message to the audience. But I just say it because it's like, look, it's done. This game, I've done. I've finished it. I've got a long time to think about what I want to say about it. And you can hear that then. So if you care, it's promotion as well, I guess. These day and age, you've got to promote yourself. And
no, definitely. I just prefer...
It's difficult.
I prefer to be following like a person, and then they say they have played Spider-Man, but they come out and they say, I've played probably my favourite game this year. Like, I know then a lot of people would go...
No, I wouldn't say that.
But
I don't mean to say I wouldn't say that about that game. I mean, I wouldn't... Again, I'm not no embargo breaking. I'm saying I wouldn't like to say that. If I can't say to you, God of War is a 10 out of 10, oh my God, it's the best game this year... You're not going to get me saying some kind of, hey, I might have just finished my favourite game of the year. And then someone goes to me, oh, what was it? Oh, there's lots of big games. Oh, was it this? Was it this? And I'm like, can't tell you. Like, no. Either front up with that shit or fuck off. I'm sorry.
I know it's another shitty way, but I personally don't get really that bothered because I'm always like, what could that be? Because I end up looking up the list of games that are coming out. Obviously, there's the obvious one, like Spider-Man. But, you know, I like to think like, oh, maybe though it's this game. Like, I don't know, I just like, it's a bit more fun than your, oh, I've 100%ed the thing and I can talk about it then. It's like, all right, cool, then why don't you just wait till then? But anyway, look, that's just the way that shit is.
Yep, and I think we got a good amount out of Spider-Man without me being able to actually say anything about it. It's pretty good. I mean, I could talk about the opening 2 hours because that's what Chris played at preview, but I'm not going to because he did that already. And we'll, like I say, I'm sure Chris will be here next time and we'll talk in depth about it, so... To hype, that's our way of hyping the game, or rather the critique of the game when you come back this time next week. And now, you know, we're going to say goodbye because that is the end of the show. Adam, where can people find you on the Twitter or anywhere else for that matter?
On the Twitter at Adam Zoax. That's Zoax.
Okay, I'm at Jebusf, Jebusf, at God is a Geek, of course, Instagram, Facebook. Do go to patreon.com/godisageek. Have a look. For $1 a month, you get this podcast early every week and an extended version this week. You'll have a 10-minute chat about, well, you'll have to read the description to find that out. But you'll also get early videos, exclusive videos, and access to our Patreon-only Discord channel. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for being here with us every week. And we will see you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.